This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
How about this, Doran? You want to know what the estimated value of the Pittsburgh Pirates is? This is insane.
Can I take a guess?
Yes.
Estimated value of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
If you wanted to buy them tomorrow.
$627 million.
$1.32 billion! The exact amount of tax-free money that Messi turned down.
Wow.
So you know what? If I got $1.3 billion, I'd buy the Pirates.
Oh my goodness.
I've always wanted to have enough wealth to buy a sports team. If it wasn't the Pirates, I'd buy another baseball team or a hockey team. I'm just so invested in sports in my love that I want one that I can control, like a fantasy team in real life, Doran.
Would you be like in meetings and stuff and give your opinion?
Yeah.
That'd be horrible.
I would be such a meddling owner, dude.
You'd be like Antonio Brown owning his little arena team. That's exactly right. What you'd be like.
And I wouldn't be able to pay the players either because my $1.3 billion would be enough to buy the Pirates, but not enough to pay Brian Reynolds or Andrew McCutchen or even Austin Hedges. So there is the drawback. But I would put together a group. I would get a group of investors. I would be the majority owner, and we'd find a way. We'd make it work. And then I would call up Andy Rodriguez, and I'd call up Henry Davis, and I'd call up Quinn Priester, and I'd go out and I'd trade for someone. I'd get Ohtani, and we would win the World Series. $1.3 billion. 412-928-9370 is the number on the Nemecolon fan hotline. Around every corner, Nemecolon creates real-life magic for guests. And you could text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line at 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Doran, before we get into the Pirates and their cataclysmic failure over the course of the last two games, you said you're golfing today in this terrible haze that we're supposed to have.
I am. I'm a little worried about it.
You're worried about their lungs?
Should I be worried about it? I mean, you're the scientist, remember? I mean, well, scientist, astrologist, you're the whole shebang whenever it comes to this stuff.
I know all about space. I don't know much about Earth. But what I did read yesterday, Doran, and I really don't know anything about space, is that if you spent 24 hours outside yesterday in New York City, like the full day, it's the equivalent of smoking six cigarettes.
Oh, that's it?
That's not bad.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Now, it's bad if you're like a pregnant lady.
Yeah.
Or if you're a child. Like, I wouldn't want my daughter, who's 3 and a half, running around outside smoking six cigarettes, so I probably wouldn't want her running around outside for 24 hours in New York City. But I'm sure your lungs have been through worse.
A lot worse.
That's not even half a pack of cigarettes.
That's not that bad.
I'm going out tomorrow, baby. I wouldn't suggest anybody else does, but I'm going out. My lungs, I trained for 5 and a half years in Morgantown for air just like this, pal.
Where are you going?
I don't know, out.
Out. You're just going to walk around?
I'll sit on my back pad. What do I ever do? I don't do anything interesting. Dunk in the official coffee of the Fan Morning Show. So the Pirates losers the last two games. They had a six-game winning streak. I already had them penciled down for an eight-game winning streak. If you had the Pirates as a true division contender, if you had the Pirates as a team that could really make the playoffs, maybe a wild card team, if you're the Pirates and you got them finishing above 500 in your prognostications, yesterday and the day before should really tick you off. This is not what good teams do, and it's not just that they lost. It's the way that they looked when they lost. And it's their rotation now that is taking on significant water with the loss of Vince Velasquez, who I don't think is going to be back anytime soon. That's just me guessing. It's a hypothesis. I don't think he's going to be back anytime soon. Luis Ortiz and Johan Oviedo have been up and down. Rich Hill's been a staple. Mitch Keller, before the last three starts, has been a staple. But Roansy Contreras, man, he got to go to the bullpen or worse. You could send him down. You could have him on the IL with some sort of phantom injury. That guy can't take the ball every fifth day, though. No way.
It's about the way that they lost. I get that. But it's also about the way that they've won, too. For me, that's why that if you are championing the Pirates and you believe in the Pirates, that angle right there is the reason why. You can't just look at it out of one lens.
I
know that they've lost to a bad team, and they got blown out one of those games. And yesterday they got blown out in the first inning, and you knew the game was basically over.
Yeah.
I get that. But there's been some quality wins, too. And they've showed that they could play at a high level whenever they do win as well.
I wonder.
And you are one of the people, too, that thought that they couldn't get back to that, to get back to their winning style. And they showed that 2 weeks ago or a week ago.
These last five games are a perfect microcosm of their season. April, they were gangbusters. May, they were horrendous. Against the Cardinals, they were dramatic. Big hits by Key Brian Hayes, the massive comeback in game number one. They kind of did to the Cardinals what the Cardinals always do to the Pirates. That was like April. These last two games have been like May. It's why I can't buy in hook, line, and sinker into this team being a contender, because that good is always in there, and they can always rise up. That bad is always in there, too. And the tangible nature of this now, to me, Doran, is that rotation, which along with their bullpen has been their strength this year, I'm now really worried about it. But I wanted to ask you this question because you had a really good take on this. I saw Pony tweet out yesterday, Roansy Contreras, the most disappointing Pirate this year. And given his expectations coming in, I think that's a reasonable take by Pony. You presented somebody else, and I think you're really on to something here.
Very, very underwhelming, Ryan Reynolds. The beginning of the year was on fire. Got paid. Started deteriorating a little bit. You know, I don't want to see an average Brian Reynolds. That's not what he's getting paid for. That's not what he's looked at to be. He has to be and put himself in a spot that he gives the Pirates a chance every single game. I don't care. I don't care how long the season is. I don't care who's pitching. I don't care if he's batting right-handed. I don't care if he's batting left-handed. I don't care if he's in center field. I don't care if he's in left field. He has to be a guy on this roster that gives them a chance every single game. His game cannot fall below average ever. He's paid to be that guy, and he has to be that guy. He can't just be that guy in the beginning of the year. He has to be that guy throughout the whole entire season. Long season, I get it. I don't want to hear it. You got paid the most money in, what, Pirates history? You need to be that guy all the time.
I'm with you on that, and he has been underwhelming. And over the last 15 games, you know who his batting average is comparable with? Austin Hedges, who's getting paid $5 million. Brian Reynolds should be the Aaron Judge. We heard Jeff Hathorn say it in the last hour of the Pittsburgh Pirates. I'm with you. Apart from the first week of the season, he's been okay. He's been ordinary. His OPS 2 years ago was 912. He was 11th in the MVP voting in the National League. That's what we need to see from Brian Reynolds. He needs to be not in the top five necessarily in MVP talk. I want to be realistic. I want that guy again, though. I want that kind of difference maker. You're right. And when we talk about the Pirates, they've got 25 games this year where they've scored two or fewer runs. That's second worst in the league, only behind Oakland, who they just lost to twice. We've talked about Key Brian Hayes and the consistency we need to see from him, and Jack Sawinski. And you need more consistency, and we've seen it lately from Jiwon Bae. We've talked about all the bit pieces and how those guys have had to play probably more prominent roles, with the exception of Key Brian Hayes, than you would have expected coming into the year. Brian Reynolds is in the lineup every single day, and his OPS is slightly above 800. Again, that makes him a good player. They're not paying him by Pirate standards to be a good player.
Right.
They are paying him by Pirate standards to be a great player, and we just haven't seen enough of it. That is an issue. And if he were all of a sudden to get hot, I mean, a three-run homer does you some good every now and again.
Exactly.
You need that. And they just haven't had that. You're right. I've killed Jack Sawinski for some of his plate appearances, particularly against lefties, and I want to see more consistency and better from him. But the star of this baseball team, without O'Neill Cruz and pushing McCutcheon to the side, is Brian Reynolds, and he has not played like that.
No.
412-928-9370 is the number on Twitter, @_AdamCrowley, @ScoreAndDoran. Fan Morning Show brought to you by the heating, cooling, and plumbing experts at Armstrong Comfort and Matt Mertz Plumbing. Last night, Quinn Priester didn't pitch well in AAA. Quinn Priester gave up 4 runs. So in 5 of the last 7 starts, Quinn Priester's been really good. He had a 2.27 ERA in his last 6 starts going into last night, but his ERA is over 4. I don't know what your solution is in your starting rotation right now, man. I guess it would have to be. I think Quinn Priester is probably your best option to call up, and you can manipulate the service time there because he's a starter, and you not, I guess, have to worry about Super 2 with a starting pitcher. But I don't love him necessarily as an option right now. I mean, I would call him up and see how it goes and then send him down if he doesn't perform well. But Rowanzi can't go into the rotation, and I don't know where else you turn.
Right. I mean, you don't love the option, but it's the only option, really. It's the only option on the table. I mean, there's other options, and you can live with what you have, but the only option is to direct to Priester.
Well, and Jeff brought up potentially making a trade. I read a piece in The Athletic the other day. It listed all the buyers and sellers. There's like 3 sellers right now. Now, you're only a little over a third of the way through the season, but just about everybody in the National League thinks they're in it. And it's too early to separate the pretenders and the contenders. I mean, Cincinnati, they call up Ellie De La Cruz. All of a sudden, he's the best hitter in baseball history.
Shot of life.
They feel like they're in it. I want to see. I guess that's kind of a solution, Doran. Like, even if your rotation's taking on water, what can you do then to bolster your lineup to try to score more runs to compensate? So either Andy Rodriguez or Henry Davis, maybe you could call up. But
what's the timeline on O'Neill Cruz like lately that we've heard?
I think he's on track to come back in August.
August.
Which I thought they could pitch well enough to maybe be in it in August. But now I'm doubting that because your rotation, which was a strength, is now a massive question mark at best. Segment brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. What's the biggest concern for you with these Pittsburgh Pirates right now? Let's open it up to the phone lines at 412-928-9370. We've listed a bunch. If you think that this is a team that could win the division, giving up 2 games in the standings to Oakland, it just can't happen. Like, it's not like the Pirates are ever going to run away and hide in this division either, Doran. Like, they were always going to squeak by if they were going to win it. They were going to squeak by if they get in the wild card. This series against the Mets also takes on a whole bunch of new importance. We'll get to that coming up next, plus your reaction as well at 412-928-9370. Coming up next, we'll get into that. But first, let me tell you about Bath R Us. A tub-to-shower conversion can make your life so much easier. Not only does it give a more modern feel, but it's also easier to use for all kinds of people who might live at home with you. Call my guys at Bath R Us today. Convert that old bath into a beautiful new walk-in shower. See what a difference a new bathroom makes in your life. Unlike many other bath remodelers, Bath R Us offers tile-like products with grout lines without all the added maintenance and care. They even offer bases and walls that match each other perfectly, not limited color options like at other places. And all this comes with a one-time transferable warranty that lasts for a combined 30 years. Walk-in tubs, replacement showers, tub-to-shower conversions, and more. Don't wait. Call today. 313-251-1401. Schedule your free in-home estimate. Get $1,000 off plus low to no monthly payments. Or go to bathrs.com and upgrade to the bath of your dreams.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What concerns you most about these Pirates now coming off of back-to-back losses against a team that's on pace to lose 130 games? 412-928-9370. And on Twitter, @_AdamCrowley and Score and Dorm. We'll give you our thoughts on that in a moment. But, dude, how about Shelby Cassesi just popped in here? And she's doing a TikTok series now on the fashion in sports talk radio. And what she said to me was, it's the perfect day to do this. And that hurts my feelings a little bit.
Why?
Because I'm dressed like a clown. There's zero fashion sense about me today. People think I dress like I'm a 14-year-old dude.
You do.
But that's only at school. At school. Mommy laid this out for me. No, it's only at work. I'm not trying to impress anybody here. You can watch us on the 93.7thefan.com video stream. I dress up like a younger version of Joe Starkey. I'll just grab whatever I want, throw it on. I'll put on, if I got to do something later tonight, I'm going to look all sleek and sexy like you. This isn't how I really dress, but what I've got on today is my Antonio Brown celebrity softball jersey from like 6 years ago that might be a size too small. I have some shorts on from TJ Maxx. I got my Reeboks on that are a little dirty, and I got my Holy socks. So when she says she wanted to do that series and today's a perfect day to start, she's making fun of me.
Yeah, probably. What I've noticed about you, that you consistently wear things that are free 99.
Oh, yeah.
You're a big free 99 guy. Like, you'll come in, you know, the hat is free, the jersey that you're wearing is free. The West Virginia stuff you probably got on the side of the street free. You wear a lot of free 99 stuff.
It's not that I don't pay for my clothes. It's that I pay very little for my clothes.
You didn't pay for your top of your outfit.
That's correct. My hat is my 93.7 The Fan hat given to me by our boss, Spack. This jersey was obviously handed out to me. These shorts cost $10. I have three pairs of shorts, Dorn, and three pairs of jeans. That's it. How many pairs of pants do you have?
Like pants all together?
Yeah.
Oh, probably like 30-some.
Really?
Yeah.
See, you are a fashionable guy. You come in here, there's no graphics on your shirts. They're just plain.
Yes.
They look good. It helps that you look the way that you do with your body. Oh, my gosh. Like, I can't pull off the stuff that you wear.
But you never tried.
That's right.
You don't know what you can do until you try. You don't try to dress that way.
Who is the worst fashion sense at 93.7 The Fan?
Muller.
Really?
He shopped at, like, Costco.
Mulzy, I think, looks cool. He's got a hipster kind of feel to
what?
Him. What? He'll wear, like, tie-dye sweatshirts, cool hats. I like the cut of his jib. I like the Mulzy style.
He wears hats?
Sometimes. Cover up that dome.
They have hats. He wears those big hats, those new big hats? Is that what he wears?
Like Jimmy Neutron would wear. Yeah. You got the big old Jimmy Neutron head. I think Pony and I are very similar. Like, I'm sure he cleans up well, but he'll throw on some sort of sports shirt or a sweatshirt or a Syracuse shirt, and he'll walk up in here, Pirates hat or a Pirates sweatshirt.
See, Pony, he has nice clothes, and I've seen him dress nice, but the fashion style that he dresses with doesn't really match. Like, I don't think he has the sense of the fashion way to wear things. Like, he'll button the top button and think that that's the way that you're supposed
to
do it.
You would think Amanda would have more say there.
He doesn't tuck the shirts in that you need tucked in. Like, then they're, like, real baggy hanging down to his mid-thigh. Like, I'm like, tuck the shirt in. Like, that's what it's for.
You want to talk about free 99? That is Ron Cook.
Yes.
Ron Cook, you will never see him wear a shirt. Apart from maybe if he's covering a game, he'll throw a polo on or something like that. You'll never see him wear a shirt that he wasn't given for free.
He wears the Alacupa shirt. He wears the Northwestern. And he the other day he was wearing Florida State.
There's a UCLA polo that he wears too that you know he got at the bin at the boutique, as my grandma calls it, Goodwill. Anybody else go to the boutique to get their clothes? I think Craig Riley looks professional. Spack always, our big boss.
Oh, he has the best clothes out of anybody.
Yeah, he looks real good. He's got the vest that he wears, golf attire. Cale Berger actually has some good sense of fashion, I think. And he dresses for success. I dress for the morning show host job because I've got it. He dresses for the role he wants. But we got it.
Who else? Who else has bad?
Shelby always looks nice.
Shelby looks nice. Bad fashion sense. What about Zeiss?
Zeiss hasn't... There's nothing Zeiss has worn that I've gone, oh, that's weird.
You know who's neck and neck for number one is SPAC and Larry.
Larry Richard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Larry Sharp.
Cut from the same cloth, those
yes.
two.
Yes.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We'll give you our biggest reasons for Pirates concern coming up next. We digress. Little ADHD moment for me there with Shelby Cassesi coming in to ridicule us, or at least ridicule me on our fashion sense. But the biggest concern for the Pirates we'll get to next. Plus, a national host rips the Steelers. He's right in one regard, wrong in another. We'll get to that as well. It's the Fan Morning Show. But let me tell you about my friends at Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman. If you've been injured in a car wreck, five things really matter. One, having the right auto insurance, including full tort and stacked, insured and underinsured insurance matters. Two, having the peace of mind that you pay absolutely no fees or expenses until you win your case, and only if you win matters. Three, being certain the attorneys whose names are on the door and working on your case live right here in Western Pennsylvania matters. Four, working with a law firm with a 99.7% success rate handling all kinds of injury cases matters. And five, paying a fee of only 25%, not 40% of your settlement matters. But most of all, at Shenderovich, Shenderovich & Fishman, you really matter. Visit them at 98twins.com because at Shenderovich, Shenderovich & Fishman, they really do have your back, not your wallet. It's Fan Morning Show. Got this text. When I go out, I like to look as if I have a mirror and knew I was going to be in public. It's not a high bar. Well, congratulations to you. Hawaiian button-up shirts always a win. I've seen a bunch of those at Pirate games. The
really?
Pirates Hawaiian shirt button-up, I think it was a giveaway one time. Those are pretty slick.
Are they?
Who do you think has the worst fashion sense at the Fan? 412-928-9370. That is the text line. Before we get into a national host that ripped the Steelers team building, what is the thing that concerns you most about the Pirates, Dorn?
Oh, man. Probably the pitching now. I mean, maybe a couple days ago it was something else, but right now probably the pitching, the starting pitching rotation. Now that Ronzi Contreras did what he did yesterday, having to force Luis Ortiz into the lineup or into the to the starting rotation yesterday. So I don't know. And you've said this a bunch of times. That was a strength for them.
Yep.
Now it has become almost a weakness for them. And they don't have enough, and they're too streaky as hitters to overcome that weakness. So to me, it points directly, honestly, to Rowanzi Contreras. You know, not just the starting rotation, but Rowanzi, really, because you're banking on him having a decent year and being consistent.
Absolutely.
And now you're kind of going back to the drawing board and having to figure out what your options are and having to move guys up like Mitch Keller to pitch in possible days that you probably weren't going to pitch him. So now it's kind of a forceful entity that you have to use certain guys where you probably weren't going to do.
If Mitch Keller comes out and performs well against the Mets, that'll go a long way into making me feel better because you can't have him be a question mark. He was one of the constants all year long. Apart from his first start, he was solid. And they won two of his last three starts despite him not pitching at his very best. If what we saw the other day is what we get from Mitch Keller against the Mets, I'll be in full-blown panic mode. If he goes out there and looks closer to the guy that he was whenever he had nine shutout innings the complete game and then seven shutout innings the next night, and even in the game that he got pulled early by Derek Shelton, okay, I can breathe. And that series against the Mets now is huge. We talked going into this nine-game homestand after that winning series against San Francisco. If you can win six of these nine games, nice, then you're going to feel okay. You're going to be happy with that homestand. If you can win two out of three against the Mets, you can do that. You can win six of these nine, and you can go, you can get a little bit removed from that Oakland series. Now, I think you're still going to have people, maybe even me, say, yeah, you could have gone 8-1 at the homestand, but 6-3 coming in was the goal. If you can go 6-3, if Mitch Keller can pitch well when he goes out there, I think at least I can take a little bit of a sigh of relief. Colin Cowherd, he's on Fox Sports 1. He ripped the Steelers' team-building philosophy the other day.
This is what I say. They can't fix their own line. Either can Pittsburgh. What do they have in common? A defensive coach. Do you know the four teams in the league that lead the NFL in spending money on their defensive side? Chargers, Bills, Seahawks, Steelers. All four defensive coaches. Last 5 years, they're 6-12 in the playoffs. 8 years they've missed the playoffs completely. For the record, Kansas City a couple years ago scored 42 on that great defense. So when I put my NFL Super Bowl teams in the bubble, there's a reason. It's mostly offensive coaches. A San Francisco, a Philadelphia, a Cincinnati, a Kansas City. Let's sign another defensive lineman. Steelers, Seahawks, Chargers, Bills.
I disagree in that the Steelers haven't fixed their offensive line. They've revamped it in 2 years, changing out four starters. So I'll disagree there. I won't disagree about the lack of success from defensive coaches, though. And he makes a good point. He backs it up with fact. Okay, fine. But defense does still matter. San Francisco, first in the league, points given up this year. They were in the final four. Cincinnati, fifth. The Eagles, seventh. The outlier there is Kansas City, and they have the outlier of all outliers at quarterback. I don't care if you have a rookie quarterback, if you spend a lot of money on defense, if you use draft equity to bolster your offense. I just want talent being added to the offense. And I think over the course of the last few years, the Steelers have added talent to the offense. George Pickens in the second round last year. Najee Harris, even though I don't like drafting running backs in the first round, they got a guy that they think should be a Pro Bowl running back. They got Pat Freiermuth, who I think could be a top five tight end in the league. They got Darnell Washington. They've added Isaiah Seumalo. They added Broderick Jones. It's not like they haven't added talent offensively. They've just paid for defense, and they're adding offense through the draft. I don't think that's a problem with the team building. I don't.
I think it is a little bit.
Okay.
I really do. I think that you need to spend money to, you know, for an established player. And who have they spent money on, like big money on the offensive side of the ball?
I mean,
who's the last person?
They spend money on Seumalo.
I mean, how much? That's not big money.
And they spend money, if you combine the money that they spend on Mason Cole and Seumalo and on...
One person I'm talking about.
Yeah, they haven't.
Like a big-time receiver.
And it worked for Tua. They go out, they get Tyreek Hill. And even Derek Carr, they went out and spent money. And he put up actually pretty good numbers last year, despite it being a bad Oakland team. You look at what Philadelphia has done surrounding Jalen Hurts with talent. They go out and they get Brown. So, I mean, I can see the argument. I've always been, though, of the mindset that talent is talent. And if you pay for talent, fine. But if you draft and develop talent, that's fine too.
But there you go. If you pay for talent, fine. But if you draft and develop talent, it's going to take some time. If you pay for talent, then it's immediate. Like kind of the Baltimore Ravens situation. They paid for Odell Beckham,
sure.
So they're banking on him being Odell Beckham Jr.
But I look at the Steelers in the timeline of things. Now it's year three for Najee Harris. They got him to help Ben at the end of Ben's career, but also for the next quarterback. And he should arrive now. He was good in the second half. He should be a dude this year. They paid Deontay Johnson last year, and he, you would hope, takes a step forward this year. George Pickens now in year two, developing with Kenny Pickett. Pat Freiermuth they drafted before, so he lines up here. They've got guys that should be lined up now as veterans to help Kenny Pickett. That's what matters to me. If the Steelers are going to be good this year and not just playoff flame out, like the Tennessee Titans, run the ball, play defense, it's all on Kenny Pickett. And you could say, go out and maybe they should have spent money on Odell Beckham Jr. Or maybe they should go out and get DeAndre Hopkins. I think they've got enough guys on the offensive side that Kenny Pickett should be able to take that huge jump this year. And I'm okay with them spending money on defense because they don't have to pay Kenny Pickett right now.
But if you feel that way, that Kenny Pickett is okay with taking a big jump this year with what he has, I think the crux of the conversation is he'd be even better if you actually spent some money on somebody.
Perhaps.
You know, if you went and got a DeAndre Hopkins, a guy that's a game-changing player, and you could have did that, but you chose to go on the defensive side of the ball, especially in areas that aren't going to fight fire with fire, especially in this day and age of football. Like, you're getting defensive linemen. And I understand that you have to get after the quarterback, but it's not like you paid, you know, $15 million or $20 million for an elite corner or another elite safety. Somebody that's going to slow down Ja'Marr Chase. Somebody that's going to slow down T. Higgins and Joe Burrow. I think that if you were to do that, I think Colin Cowherd wouldn't have had that angle to this conversation.
I just think at the end of the day, what you need to do to win in this league, unless you've got Patrick Mahomes, who's the anomaly of all anomalies here. He's an outlier. If you're in the Final Four, you got to play good defense as well as score points. And if the Steelers have to pay to play good defense, fine by me, so long as you've got the offensive skill position players that you can grow with if you're Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, but do the Steelers' offensive skill players, do they match and align with the skill players that were in the Final Four? In the quarterbacks? No.
Deebo Samuel, Jamar Chase.
Christian McCaffrey,
A.J. Brown. No, and Kenny Pickett.
Hurts.
And also, if you do look at San Francisco, they have one thing the Steelers don't have, clearly. Same thing with Philadelphia. Hell, same thing with Cincinnati. Schemer. Steelers don't have a schemer. So, I can see what he's saying. I've just always been of the mindset, build the best roster however it takes to get there. Now, I think you can make the argument that you shouldn't have to spend all that money on defense, because if Mike Tomlin's a defensive-minded coach, you should be able to scheme around not having that good a talent. But I think if the Steelers are to be a true contender this year, and I think they're going to win 12 games, you need to be a top-10 defense, and you need to take a sizable step forward offensively. I'm okay with them not having spent the money on the offense, because I think they have the pieces in place. And if at the end of the year they're top-10 in defense, they should be in a position to win a playoff game. That's how I look at it. Whether you spend the money on offense, whether you spend the money on defense, whatever, are you building a good roster? And if you're going to draft and develop offensively, even with an offensive coordinator that's not avant-garde, not doing anything fancy, so be it, because I still think those players are good enough.
Yeah, so basically you're saying that the Steelers have constructed their roster to win a playoff game, while the other teams that win are constructing their roster offensively to win championships.
Well, people attribute the growth in Jalen Hurts to A.J. Brown being there, and that absolutely hurts. What if we're overthinking things is what I'm saying. Like, what if it's just Jalen Hurts is really good, and Joe Burrow's just really good, and Patrick Mahomes is just really good, and that's three of your four teams right there. Can Kenny Pickett take that step? If you're of the mind that the Steelers should have gone out and added like an OBJ or added DeAndre Hopkins, give us a call, 412-928-9370. Do you think that's what it takes to push Kenny over the edge? I happen to think he's going to get there anyway this year. The offensive line should be better. He's got two towering tight ends in the middle, and he's got a guy in Diontae Johnson that should be an elite level player in this league with what he's done in the past, now in year two of Kenny Pickett. 412-928-9370 on Twitter @_AdamCrowley @ScoreAndDoran. Your reaction next. Dan Zangrilli talking Bucks and Rowanzi Contreras at the top of the hour. It's the Fan Morning Show. Do you have a problem with the Steelers team building? 412-928-9370. Colin Cowherd does. I say good players are good players, whether you pay for them or draft and develop, so long as you have good players and you could be a top-10 defense and have a good offense at the end of the year, you're going to have a chance to contend. Doran says that Steelers could have aided in Kenny Pickett's development by maybe adding a piece or two, spending some money on the offensive side instead of the defensive side. What say you? Let's go to Anthony in Oakland. What's up, brother?
Thank you, fellas, for allowing me to speak with you today. Gentlemen, Cowherd has no credibility in this issue, and I'll tell you why. He criticized Tomlin during the Killer Bee era also. You remember when he had Bradshaw on and called him a cheerleader coach? So this is personal, because Tomlin will not go on his show, and he sees Tomlin on Rich Eisen and with the ex-punter from West Virginia show, and chumming it up with those guys, and won't come on his show. So this is what this is all about.
Yeah, well, I think, Anthony, I think Cowherd is really good at what he does, and he knows he's going to incite that kind of reaction from you. I think it's a reasonable take to have. The defensive coaches haven't gotten it done in terms of winning championships or really a lot of playoff games lately, too. I just happen to think with a rookie quarterback, who I think they've surrounded now with a bunch of talent, including the offensive line being revamped in a couple of years, I think Kenny Pickett can still go out there and make a sizable improvement this year. And I do think that the defense that they've spent money on is going to be a really good defense. I think there's just different ways, as they say, Doran, to skin the cat.
There is, but there's also ways that, will work. And the Steelers have gone with the method of the opposite approach of paying defensive players and drafting offensive players.
Mm-hmm.
The teams that we've seen at the top lately have paid offensive players, obviously having good quarterbacks as well, and then drafting defensive players a la
Philadelphia.
I just think at the end of the day, it matters where you get, not necessarily how you get there. Now, the one thing I would agree with in with Cowherd is, he didn't say this, but he was hinting at it. If you've got a defensive-minded head coach, I would much rather have a better offensive coordinator. I would rather have anybody other than Matt Canada. Like, that part, okay, I can agree with and make my peace with. But I think at the end of the day, it's about being a top 10 defense and having an offense that can score points. And I think Kenny Pickett can take that step forward with the talent that they have.
How far can they get, though?
I think Kenny Pickett decides that.
So can they get to an AFC championship game with that method?
I think Kenny Pickett decides that. I think you've got to have an elite quarterback. San Francisco, the only team in the Final Four that did not have an elite quarterback. The other three have one. You know, Tom Brady won his 7th Super Bowl because he was still elite. And Patrick Mahomes is going to win them a bunch more, maybe even, because he's elite. You expect Joe Burrow and Cincinnati to get back. But like, I look at Buffalo, and they've got a defensive-minded head coach, and they get hit over the head by Cowherd in that rant. They also have an elite quarterback. Is the reason why they haven't finished the job because they have a defensive-minded head coach? I mean, they were 13 seconds away.
I know that they were better the years previous because Daboll was their offensive coordinator, and they obviously missed him this year.
Also, I think people forget, but Josh Allen was banged up this year too. Like, I think that has something to do with it. Let's go to Daniel. You can weigh in on this. What's up, Daniel?
What's going on, Crowley Cool and Scoring Dorn, my guys?
Ooh, good to talk to you. Crowley Cool.
Hey, now that I got your attention, guys, listen up. I think we have really short memories here, and I do not believe going out and spending money on receivers over 30 is going to get yourself a dub. Look at the Buccaneers when they won. Okay, yeah, they had 49-year-old Tom Brady, but defense won that championship. That team was built for defense. They got after Mahomes, made his life miserable, and came out with the dub. I think develop players, they're in a good spot. George Pickens is going to be that guy in less than 2 years. It comes down to quarterback play. They short up the offensive line and buying him time. You want to point the defensive coordinators or defensive coaches, you know, the Bills can light up points, but they can't run the ball. So that's what comes down to it. You need to run the ball and play defense. We didn't just change and evolve football in the last 2 seasons. All right? You got to know what got you there. What made the Patriots great? Well, Tom Brady being smart and great defense.
Thank you for the call, Daniel. I mean, to your point about going out and getting a receiver that's a finished product, you can't wait around for George Pickens to develop for 2 more years, even 1 more year. Like, he's got to be a finished product now this year.
Right.
He's got to take a big step. So that's where I'll meet you. Like, you need that guy to be A.J. Brown. I mean, maybe not quite A.J. Brown, but a reasonable facsimile of A.J. Brown. I think he can be that. I don't think they needed to spend money on that this offseason. I happen to think OBJ is a big question mark, too. I'm okay with the way they've gone about things. They've revamped their offensive line, and they believe enough in Kenny Pickett that if you keep him upright and you can run the ball enough, he can win you playoff games. I happen to agree. I'm a big Kenny Pickett believer. Let's go to Joe. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up, guys? I think that a lot of the... Thank you. A lot of the...
Wait a second, Joe. What are you ordering, coffee?
Yeah, where are you at?
If you want me to be honest, I'm at the beer distributor getting a case of MGD for my mechanic.
Let's go. Wait, okay, now, you don't pay your mechanic, you just pay him an MGD?
We absolutely do pay him, and listen, my intention was not to plug here today, but I'm a co-owner of Bridge City Brinery. It's a food truck here.
Oh, yeah!
And our mechanic, I mean, the work that they put in for us is crazy. So to make a long story short.
It's still long. We got to let you go, Joe, but it's not because of you. It's because we're late.
I love that.
Dude, that is some old school greasing of the wheel there.
That's good. That's Pittsburgh.
You know, MGD's the first beer I ever drank.
Champagne of beers, right?
I think that's Miller High Life.
Oh, same thing.
Miller Genuine Draft, first beer I ever had. I had 3.5, got sick, wasn't ready for it.
That's about right.
I was way too young.
Can I tell you something? Somebody texted in, and it's probably one of the funniest texts I've ever seen in my life after I actually dove into it. Somebody said, and you need to look it up right now. Somebody said, by the way, Dorn looks like Cody's dad from Cocomelon. You know Cocomelon, the show? Look up Cody's dad. It is one of the funniest comparisons I've ever seen in my life. It's
holy hell. Oh, my God. Tweet that picture. At Score and Doran. Is Doran Cody's dad from Cocomelon? Doran, put it out there. At Score and Doran. Do a side-by-side. You and Cody's dad from Cocomelon. Coming up next, enough of the Steelers, enough MGD talk, although I am interested in the first beer that Dan Zangrilli ever had. We're going to talk to Dan about what's happening with Roansy Contreras. Does he have faith in Mitch Keller's ability to bounce back? What's the Pirates' biggest weakness? Are you ready to jump off the bandwagon here? All that next with Dan Zangrilli. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Summer's here. Come check out Trailblazer Equinox, the all-new redesigned 2024 Trax, and online sunchevy.com. Cooler today. The air is bad.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.